Hey everybody, and welcome to Real Talk with Doug and Jeremy. We're just two insignificant views on film. Check us out at realtalkfilm.com. You can also visit our Facebook at facebook.com/realtalkfilm or Twitter at twitter.com/realtalkfilm.
Hey everybody, and welcome to our official episode. I think we're calling this one episode 44.
I don't even know anymore.
It is crazy because we have been doing this over a year now.
For real?
We're only episode 44, but that's because we've taken a couple weeks off and things like that. Last week we took a week off and we released an old episode, a lost episode, about Star Wars. And the funny thing about that is the announcements that we talked about happened over a year ago.
Yeah.
So we have been doing this show for a year. Can you believe that?
It's pretty nuts.
It is. Things are getting crazy. We gotta pay our bills around here. Our internet bills.
Yeah.
They've come up again. Nick won't be on the show ever. He won't ever show up for the show, but when it comes time to pay money, he's all about that.
Yeah, we don't hear from him unless we have to pay something.
Yeah, he's like, hey guys, something's due here. It's $1,000. How you want to go about that?
Nothing should be $1,000.
Oh, yeah. We just, because we have so much bandwidth, Doug, we use so much that we just have to pay.
That sucks.
I'm just kidding. It's not $1,000.
I was like, I don't know what you're going, because I don't know. Look, I used to have a domain name that I paid for, but it was only like X amount a year. I don't remember. It wasn't that much, though.
No, it won't be that much to re-up. So we the thing is, we host all of our episodes on our webpage. I mean, on our website. We used to do it through another service, but we can host it on our website, and it's fine. And we haven't had issues with that. So
yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know how much that sort of, you know, what that would cost because of that ability and service to do that. So whatever, as long as it's not $1,000.
No.
Because there goes the zombie prepper's budget.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, bye. Speaking of, I posted an update on the zombie prepper's blog site. Doug and I are going to make time while we do this. What we're going to do is, Doug can see this, and Doug can see all of these.
He's holding up paper.
Huh? What'd you say?
I said you're holding up paper. Like, I was letting the listener know what you were doing. Yeah, I can see it, but they don't know what you're talking about.
I am holding up 10 episodes.
10 episodes.
Of Zombie Preppers. And
10 episodes.
I
was just repeating you.
Yeah, 10. So we just have to go ahead, and we're going to get together this weekend on our way down to...
That's not this weekend.
We're going to get together this weekend.
We could get together this weekend.
Yeah, because we haven't gotten together in a long time.
Yeah,
we haven't seen any movies together ever since we saw ever since we had breakfast together that one morning.
Yeah,
and we watched a movie while eating breakfast. You invited me over to your side of town.
Yeah,
we ate, we watched, we cuddled.
Well, yeah, a little bit.
And ever since that, we haven't gotten...
That's not true. I have seen you since then.
Things have been awkward.
I've seen you since then, though.
Oh, yeah?
We went to dinner a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, we did. We had Chinese buffet, didn't we?
It's true. So...
Yeah. Meh on me.
Yep.
Meh on me. So, in the 2 weeks that we've been absent, we have a lot of news to run through. I've listed a lot of it here. I know that you have some to add. And not only that, but we're adding a new segment to the show for the Halloween season.
That's right.
And it's called the Christmas Blues with Doug.
Oh, I can't wait until we get to Christmas time.
We can run through all the Christmas gifts one by one and review them. So, without further ado, let's jump into the news and get this party started.
Let's do it.
And now the headlines with Doug and Jeremy. We're bringing you the biggest news stories of the week.
Well, this one just came through hot off the wire and hot off the press. before we started, it just came out that Marvel, if they haven't gotten their fingers into enough things already, I am scared of brand burnout.
Yeah.
They are now doing a Marvel Universe Live coming to arenas in 2014. You can Google this, check out the... They've got some behind-the-scenes footage of them trying to hire people, do costumes and stuff like that. But
yeah, I'm not really surprised since Marvel is now part of Disney. Disney does the whole Princesses on Ice and all that stuff. So it just seems like this is already part of their territory as far as Disney is concerned. But I don't know. I mean, I could see you totally taking Colin to this. It'll just be... It'll be fun and kind of kiddish. Yeah. And
I like the logo, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's not one I'd probably go see, but like, I understand if I had a kid, like, this is probably geared for like that age group where it would probably actually be a lot of fun for them.
It's designed to be action packed, live action, and the tour starts. It will hit up 85 cities over the next 2 years.
Yeah, starting in July.
Telling a brand new Marvel story.
But with all of our favorite superheroes and villains. So
yeah, I mean, it has, since nobody has the rights to a live universe, Spider-Man can be a part of it. All the I mean anybody in Marvel universe can be a part of it. So
yeah, I wonder where that lies within Disney's rights. I mean, because at the same time, I mean, we have the Marvel superhero Lego game coming out this next week, but it has Spider-Man and it has the Fantastic Four.
I think it's just the movie rights. They own, of course they own the Spider-Man
toy rights,
the toys
and
all that, yeah, but they just don't own the movie rights. So.
Right. So then the live show could totally happen.
Oh yeah. So I mean, I saw Peter Parker in the behind the scenes thing. So Ant-Man is another Marvel movie that is chugging along pretty quickly. Edgar Wright is making it, and he has two people on his short list, it seems, and that is Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Paul Rudd. And seeing that Joseph Gordon-Levitt cannot be Batman in the new movie, he's decided to jump ship and go from DC to Marvel.
Happens a lot.
Yeah. I think that he'll probably get... I don't see Paul Rudd pulling this off.
I don't know. They're talking about how, you know, they went with kind of a funny actor for Iron Man with Robert Downey Jr. But he kind of has been a little bit done like more funny roles.
Yeah, but I mean, he's also like buff and he can be commanding at the same time.
Yeah,
but I'm not into Ant-Man. I'm not like a huge... I've never followed it or anything, so I don't exactly know like if it is a kind of a comedy role or not.
I don't know either. I mean, because again, they've also hired Chris Pratt from Parks and Recreation to be
Guardians of
the Galaxy, so they... I mean,
yeah, they're going a little comedic.
It seems
here.
Like they're pulling comedic actors, and I like either of these choices. Part of me would really like to see Paul Rudd over this.
Really? You just see what he can do?
Yeah. I don't know. I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt, it would be almost like a typecasting at this point.
Is that the suit? Or is that fake? I don't even know.
I don't know.
We're looking at a picture of the suit.
It looks like a screen cap, like out of something.
Yeah, so that's what I'm curious to know, if like that was came from like Comic-Con or something.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
So it looks kind of neat, though.
Kind of. It does.
Kind of neat. We have a couple stars also in the news for Jurassic World. Jurassic World. I don't like that.
Jurassic World.
Yeah, Jurassic World.
Jurassic
that
Park
is,
World.
Although Jurassic World was one of the names of the books, wasn't it? If I can remember. Wasn't it?
No.
Wasn't it the second one?
No. That's The Lost World, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you. So we have word that Jake Johnson is getting a role in this movie from New Girl and from Drinking Buddies.
I don't think I know who Jake Johnson
He's
is.
He's the... You don't watch New Girl?
Uh-uh.
Oh, my goodness. You're missing out. It's a funny show. You'd really relate. I think you'd relate I think you would relate to Jake Johnson.
Okay.
I relate to him. That means you would.
Okay.
Because anything that I love, you love.
Sometimes
stare into
true.
My eyes. Thank you. there's also a word that the star of Insidious, Ty Simpkins is going to be a part of the movie as well. No real evidence of what parts they'll play, but just a couple names that they're throwing out. So,
yeah. Ty Simpkins was in Iron Man 3. He was that kid that they had. It was the funny part of the movie.
Oh, that
in Iron Man 3.
Yeah, I mean, he'll probably play the scared kid that gets caught by the pterodactyl and runs around.
Yep.
And Bryce Dallas Howard is also tipped as playing one of the lead roles.
Yeah, so. I saw that, I think, last week, probably when we didn't report on it.
Yeah, this was last week's news, so we're just kind of running through it here. Don't give me crap. X-Men Days of Future Past. It was reported that it would have been filmed in 48 frames per second, just like The Hobbit. Bryan Singer was taking a stab at it. This was kind of big news, but we do have an update on that. Unfortunately, it is completely false. So if you were reading on the interwebs, Fox has come out and said that we are not doing that. And in fact, we're sorry. So, which I don't see as a big deal because I love 24 frames per second.
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed the 48 frames per second in The Hobbit, but I feel like it was a movie that like was meant for it. And I don't know if X-Men is one that would.
And here's the thing. They break continuity with the Marvel X-Men movies so much. Don't do this now. Do it when you reboot it.
Yeah.
You know, don't do it like mid, okay, here's the second movie. We're going to go ahead and film it in 48 frames and enjoy. I hate that so much. They're not doing it, so you don't have to hate it. I know, and I'm not going to hate it, but am I?
Probably not.
You never know. Bryan Singer is involved.
Don't remind me. I'm trying to ignore that.
I know you're trying. You're very quiet on that story. You're very quiet tonight so far, and I think the reason why is you're holding in all of your talk because of the new segment.
I'm just gonna shut up later.
I feel like you were just gonna vomit for like an hour when we get to that segment.
Probably.
All right. So Michael Bay wants to make a horror film. How do you feel about that?
It'll have a lot of explosions and a lot of CG.
There won't be a lot of explosions. There'll be a lot of blood.
There will be a lot of exploding blood. A lot of CG.
If you've ever heard the term, the heads will roll, you haven't seen anything yet.
The heads will roll and turn into giant robots.
This is true.
Let him do whatever he wants to do. If he wants to venture into something new, let him. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to, like, just go like, oh, Michael Bay, I'm not going to see it. I'm not one of those people. In fact, I've seen a lot of his movies, so.
I'm a fan of Michael Bay because he has a lot of, there's a certain segment of Hollywood that needs somebody like that. A lot of people will make fun of him, and I know there's reason to, because there's not a lot of substance, but there's a lot of filler. And that's okay. Like, I think that's fine because there is a place for that.
Yeah.
I mean, he may take over one of these films because DreamWorks has finally reported, because they've been keeping very, very mum on this stuff, is that they're finally going to remake or build franchise names off of things like Masters of the Universe, Voltron, Rocky Bullwinker, Lassie, Mr. Magoo, and Where's Waldo?
Rocky Bullwinker?
Bullwinkle.
Sorry. Yeah, no, you just said it funny.
Did I say Burwinkle?
Yeah, you kind of just rolled that all into like one word. Rocky Bullwinker?
Rocky Bullwinker. So DreamWorks finally saying that they're going to get around to it eventually, but not quite yet. Maybe Michael Bay will take over Voltron.
Yeah, Where's Waldo? That would be a very scary movie.
God, yes. I'm pretty sure that Waldo is maybe a pedophile. Always hiding out in crowds. Can't find him. And then you're like, haha, where is he?
Maybe not a pedophile, but most likely a serial rapist.
Maybe a serial rapist. That's better. Okay, I could go with that.
He's not necessarily like hiding in groups of children.
Well, are you sure? Sometimes. He could be. I don't know. So Daniel Radcliffe is pondering the fact of, would he be back in Fantastic Beasts and where to find them.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not, but he went on to say, he had a quote, and he says, I don't think I'm going to be coming back, but if time travel rears its head again, I'll be intrigued to see what she does.
Yeah. Talking about J.K. Rowling writing the script, I mean, I don't see her bringing him back. I mean, maybe for a cameo, but like, he wouldn't even film the stuff for the Harry Potter theme park. Like, other people, cast members did, but he wouldn't do it because he was like, I'm done with this. I don't want to do it anymore.
What?
Yeah. So they were going to film stuff for, like, you know, just around the park and stuff, and he didn't want to be a part of it because, again, he was like, we're done with the movies. I don't want to do this anymore. But, like, Rupert Grint was like, okay.
Oh, and you know what? That's the thing that I hate about actors. Like, they get this huge opportunity, and they have this huge multi-million-dollar contract to do something. And then they're done with it, and they're like, I'm so over this. Bitch, this made your career.
Yeah, exactly. Well, part of his quote is like, you know, I don't think we can't keep doing these characters when we're 40. Bitch, yes, you can.
I'm sorry, did you not see the, you can be a professor.
That's right.
Dumble dumb. Dumble dummy. So Warner Brothers is stressing the fact that they will bring Wonder Woman on film or TV. The subject of franchises, Tehasha Harara, said the lack of superhero movies other than Superman Batman franchises has been a missed opportunity, but added that the studio has huge plans for a number of other DC properties on TV. Perhaps one hint in that direction, we need to get Wonder Woman on the big screen. Or TV.
Or TV.
So I think it's going to happen eventually. It's. I mean,
It needs to happen, but the problem is I feel that audiences may not necessarily be ready for her, which is why they've had such difficult... And I don't know why that is. I just don't know if people are ready for a
woman Captain America?
Yeah. And that's terrible. But I mean, like, I kind of, I don't know. You have Iron Man, Thor, all those movies too in the Marvel universe. But, you know, they don't have a standalone woman superhero doing her own movies right now. You have Storm and Jean Grey and all those people within those movies. But we don't have, you know, they don't have it either. It's because I just don't think I hate to say it, but I don't think there's really a market for it. Though there should be.
Because
need to be looking up to women like Wonder Woman and not Miley Cyrus.
And guys love cleavage, so I don't know why this isn't working.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we love half-naked chicks.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's the thing, is that maybe that, you know, they're like, oh, it's not going to be that. It's going to be...
Yeah, they're like, we're going to cover up.
Yeah.
She's never going to be... I don't know. She's not going to be sexy.
I don't know why Wonder Woman is having such a hard time.
And they've rebooted the TV series twice, and it's been canned twice.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe they're going to do it now that the Marvel Shield has been such a big hit.
Yeah.
Although, it's not that great. I've watched 3 episodes now, and I'm pretty unimpressed with it all so far. Have you seen it?
Uh-uh.
I won't ruin it for you. But, yeah, the first 3, I mean, they're good, but it's not like, oh, my gosh, this is spectacular stuff, you know?
I don't know. I think what they need to do to make her successful is to feature her in a movie first and then bring that character directly, either then give her her own movie or bring her into a TV series.
Maybe.
And, like, let it be the same actress and stuff, too. Like, work that into their contract, where it's like, we're trying to get this Wonder Woman thing, but we need to see her in action first, I feel, before, like, people are going to be willing to give her a shot.
Well, why don't they just do, like, instead of doing that, just do a short film?
Because it'll never happen.
A short film, you know, a short film came out with Wonder Woman in it? I don't know if I should link you. But it is spectacular, dude. It's really cool.
I saw it made its rounds a couple weeks ago. I saw people posting it. I didn't watch it, though.
Well, that's exactly... You're sitting here speaking and spitting this hot game.
Well, no, I don't. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, women on it, and you're just like, meh. Meh.
Not because it's Wonder Woman, but
yeah, no, it's because it's Wonder Woman.
It's just a fan film.
And they said how wonderful it was that featured Wonder Woman, and you just were like, meh.
I rarely watch stuff on the
you're such a liar.
If it's not already a TV
you're
show.
You're such a liar. You watch nothing but cat videos all day.
No, pug videos.
Pug videos.
That's why I hate pugs.
I hate pugs. I keep watching them, but I hate them.
I have a friend that has one, and her pug, like, I swear to God, his tongue is never in his mouth. Like, it is always hanging out of the side of its mouth, and it's just like, where does that ever go back in there? Just, it looks ridiculous. What ugly creatures they are.
I don't think so. Don't be so mean. Pugs are magical creatures.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Yep. I let that one play through.
Yep.
Let it ride. All right, number five is Runner Runner, which has been a huge flop, making $3.77 million for a total of 14.2 in its two-week run.
Yeah, it looked pretty bad.
I have it on my Plex that I play.
Well,
on.
You should watch it and see how bad it is.
Okay. Number four, Machete Kills, making $3.84 million.
Oh,
I'm
man,
pretty sure.
I want to see that.
I am pretty sure that made its money back.
Oh, probably.
So, number three is Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, making $13.8 million for a total of $77.6 million.
Ooh,
we can almost... In 3 weeks, we are going to be iffy on a sequel, I bet.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I don't... Sequel to the sequel.
Number two is a movie that I desperately need to see. Captain Phillips.
Yeah.
This making $25.7 million. Which is great for a movie that is a contender for the award season.
Yep.
Number one is Gravity in its second week, holding on to number one. It's been 2 weeks in a row now, making $43.2 million for a huge gross of $122 million. This is amazing because of the fact that this is kind of Titanic-like to the where the fact that people... didn't really have a huge it didn't have like a huge following but word of mouth has gotten people to go out to the movie theaters in droves.
Yep.
So it's been kind of crazy, been kind of cool, so good for them, good for them, good for them
indeed,
good for them. Opening this week
oh man,
Carrie.
Yeah, I can't wait.
A reimagining of the classic horror tale about Carrie White, a shy girl outcast.
Mm-hmm.
Who goes on to kill an entire high school.
Yep. And most of a small town.
So, and then we have The Fifth Estate, which is kind of cool. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing that. I won't see it in theaters. I'll have to rent it.
Yep.
12 Years a Slave. I just saw a preview to this, and it actually looks amazing.
It looks phenomenal.
And that will be an award winner.
Yeah, this is another contender for sure.
Yeah. And then the biggest contender for the award season this year is Escape Plan, starring Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger and 50 Cent.
Man, I want to see all four of these movies.
I do too, man.
Maybe not necessarily in theaters, but like I want to see Carrie. Mm-hmm. I want to see Fifth Estate. I want to see 12 Years a Slave. And I want to see Escape Plan. We saw a trailer for it before, like Elysium or something.
Do you think that all these have like something in common? I mean, listen to this, okay? In The Fifth Estate, there was a 12 Years a Slave with an escape plan. With Carrie.
Carrie was in The Fifth Estate. She was a 12-year slave.
Yeah.
She had an escape
Carrie
plan.
Was... Yes, it's all in order, too. Oh, that's awesome. I like it. All right, Doug. We've come to the portion that you have not even given a crap about anything. Oh, wait. No, we haven't.
No, we're not
no,
there
No, we
yet.
Haven't. We're not there yet.
Nope.
Jeez. Doug, go dance.
Early.
Okay. Are you watching closely?
I want to take you to the club.
My shoulders are popping.
that's not good. I want to take you to the club.
Oh no!
And I want to show you off to all my friends. Well, your dance moves on the floor, and you may not dance. You may not dance to any other song, but I'll get the DJ to throw that on.
Like, I'm not dancing to this crap.
Oh snap! That's when the whole crowds around you in a big circle. This weekend, I didn't see any movies in the theater. I threw up Gravity because I thought maybe you went to go see it.
Yes, but you did go see something last week, though, didn't you?
Ooh.
You and Jason, I think, went and saw a movie, didn't you?
I went to go. No, we talked about Rush already.
No, we didn't.
We didn't?
No.
I went to go see Rush.
We didn't do a show last week, so no, you did not talk about Rush.
Oh, boy.
I'll let you talk about that first.
Uh-huh. All right, I went to go see Rush. It was a rush of a movie. It was definitely a tale of just two guys that were locked in. It was a tale about two guys, but it really focused on one. And it really focused on, you would think that the burn victim, and I can't, let me pull this up. I can't talk about this without knowing the facts.
You weren't prepared because you didn't think you'd have to talk about it.
I didn't think I was talking about it, man.
You looking up the actor's name, or are you looking up...
Shh, quiet.
Because it's Daniel Brühl.
No, I'm talking. Let the big boys talk.
He's the one who was in the car wreck.
Okay. All right, Niki Lauda was in the car wreck, which was a true story. You think that the story would revolve around that, but it really doesn't. The story mainly focuses on James Hunt and his one season of victory. He worked his way up to get into the Formula One races, and it really is amazing because you had a 20% chance of dying every race.
Jeez.
There was at least one or two people who died a race back then in the 70s. And that's insane to think that there's 12 or 15 drivers, and one or two would die.
Yeah.
It's insane. So anyways, the film focuses on James Hunt. It's an incredible story, and it's a really sad one with a very sad ending. James Hunt, after he won his trophy, after he won the season title, that's all he needed in life. And after that, he quit. After another season, he just retired. And Niki Lauda went on to win another championship, and he won three in his career. Then he went on to own all this other stuff, but James Hunt was an alcoholic and drug user, and all that stuff just led up to him having a heart attack at the age of 45 and dying. And Niki Lauda just was very sad about it. They pushed each other to be like great racers, it was a really cool story. I really enjoyed it. I think that overall I give it probably a 7 out of 10. I enjoyed it very much. I recommend anyone to see it. It will definitely it definitely piqued my interest and should pique yours. All that good stuff. So
watch it, but you know, maybe don't see it in theaters. Is that where you're kind of 70s at, where it's like, it's a good movie, but you know, maybe wait till it's like Redbox?
Well, I mean,
do you think it needs to be seen in a theater?
It doesn't need to be seen in a theater, no.
There you go.
So, all right, now moving on to you. You saw Gravity.
I saw Gravity this weekend.
Okay, and go.
It was gravelicious. That doesn't make sense. Okay, so everyone knows what it's about. Sandra Bullock and what's his face? George Clooney are up in space.
What's his face? You know, the Devonair man that every man wants to be.
Yeah, there's that guy and. Anyway, so they're in space. They're doing some stuff. Some crap goes down.
We really knocked this movie. Like, I don't mean to derail you here, but we knocked the crap out of this movie. We were like, we're not going to go see that. We already know the ending. This is really stupid.
I never said that. I said I was going to go see it 1,000 times.
Nah.
Because, one, I love Alfonso Cuarón. the director. I don't even know if that's how you say his last name, but he is a phenomenal director. And also, it was so good. Oh my God, it was so amazing. So a medical engineer and an astronaut work together to survive after an accident leaves them adrift in space.
I thought it was a dumb idea because I was just like, all right, everyone's going to die. And it's going to be very intense because...
That essentially, you know, that is the plot of the movie. But again, did you see Children of Men?
No.
Oh, dude, you're missing out. Okay, this guy is a phenomenal director. And so the movie is just, it's shot. Dude, the first scene, the first shot is 13 minutes long before there's a camera cut.
Wow.
13 minutes long.
That's insane.
Yeah. And I mean, literally from the instant we meet the people in space until Sandra Bullock is first floating away, 13 minutes, not a single camera cut.
Wow.
And it's amazing. Like, you don't really, like, you notice, but you don't notice because so much is happening and the camera shots are so cool. And, like, you know, it's spinning around them while they're in space. And so you get to see Earth. And then just, I saw it in 3D too, which, by the way, that's, you have to see it in 3D.
That's what I heard.
And it was beautiful and it was awesome and it was intense and it was a great movie. I mean, it was insane.
They say that the director, Alfonso, who also, he was actually in the Muppets. He was a Muppet. He is a Muppet.
No.
Alfonso. That sounds like a Muppet name.
No.
Don't get all defensive now.
No.
Okay. So anyways, he... who put this out? Warner Brothers? I think so. I think Warner Brothers. Let me just check just to make sure.
I think it was because I remember seeing the Warner Bros. in
3D. They tried to make him change the entire movie. And he stuck by his guns and said, no, this is the story we need to tell. Because they wanted a girlfriend or a wife, or they wanted to cut back to Houston to... add more pressure and like they something to hold up, like a kid at home who's waiting for their mommy, and they wanted to add all this stuff to make it very cookie cutter. They said so that way the audience understands more.
No, they didn't need it. It was awesome. The fact that you never see any of that. In fact, Ed Harris is actually credited as being in the movie, and I didn't know this, but he's the voice of Mission Control. And again, I mean, you hear the voice. I never would have known it was Ed Harris because they never showed his face.
That's
you know
crazy.
That's a pretty big cat. Like, you know, he's a big name. He was in Apollo 13,
and Armageddon,
and in The Abyss, and
any other movie that Truman has to do anything with space,
yeah,
or in a control room.
Exactly,
he is the control room man.
I know he probably like they just need to have him record the voice for male Siri.
For real, I'd love him as a male Siri.
So it was really, really good. And again, a must see in 3D, like Life of Pi, where it's just like, I'm sure it'll be good without it, but that 3D adds a lot to it. So IMAX 3D would probably be the best. We saw it at the Rave Extreme screen, which is like the IMAX, but.
And they do the 3D there too.
Uh huh. But it was, you know, instead of $15, it was only $9 for a ticket.
No, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate that. Very cool. So go see both. One of them in theaters, one of them on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I would say I'd give this movie about an 8.5.
Oh, cool. Okay. Very neat. Well, with your review, I thought maybe you'd give it a 10.
It's close. I mean, Children of Men, I think, was a crazier story. Like, where you're just like, oh my, you know, this one was kind of predictable, like, throughout the movie.
You knew what was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
But the way that it happened,
but
was
also
amazing.
Didn't really know what was going to happen. I mean, you know, because you're like, well, maybe, but there's, you know, obviously there's things that could have been better, but it was still very well done, and it was pretty good. It was awesome.
Well, very cool. Awesome.
Moving on
to Doug's. This is all Doug right here. Okay, I'm going to sit back. I'm going to go get a coffee. Maybe some hot chocolate. I'm going to grab some popcorn. Just relax a little bit. And Doug's going to... This is all Doug. He came up with this whole concept. And he's got a lot to say, I think.
Probably.
All right. Without further ado.
Doug's review of really, really scary Halloween movies.
No, but
it
seriously.
Almost sounded like it. I mean, it was pretty good.
That was me laughing. That was my.
That was all Doug. He recorded that and everything. Believe it or not,
it's pretty nifty. So. All right, so you know, it is October, so it is time for some scary movies, and I have watched a literal buttload.
Now, when you start off something by saying literal and buttload,
dude. It is a lot. It is a lot. I think I've watched 11 movies in the past week. I was going to start this last week, but we didn't do it. So I have like 2 weeks worth of movies to go.
Well, I don't want
to
hold you up.
Yeah. We'll just start right off the bat. I'm not going to go into too much detail about them. I'm just going to kind of list like what I saw.
How is your format going here? Are you going to give like a recommendation at the end of each review?
Yep.
Okay. And are you kind of follow the whole buy, box, and burn kind of format?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
And a mixture of the, like, what are you watching? But, like, condensed, because there's so many movies this week. So the first one I watched was The Awakening. Now, again, almost all these movies are on Netflix, unless I say otherwise. Like, so if you want to check these out, they are on Netflix to watch. So the first one I watched was The Awakening. It was a 2011 movie. IMDb scores it at a 6.4. I give it about a 6. It's about, say, in 1921, England is overwhelmed by the loss and grief of World War I. Hoax exposer Florence Cathcart visits a boarding school to explain sightings of a child ghost. It was all right. I've seen better. It wasn't very creepy. It was kind of like if you've ever seen The Others with Nicole Kidman, it was very similar to that. I will note that this had the kid that plays Bran in Game of Thrones in it. As well as the lady that played Dolores Umbridge from Harry Potter. Just, they're in it. I just was like, hey, it's Dolores Umbridge. You're a bitch. Huh. A lot of the movies I watch actually ended up having people from Game of Thrones in it. There's a lot of people
really?
In the movies. Yeah. Huh. The next movie I watched was Event Horizon, which if you haven't seen Event Horizon, this is one you have
I've
to check
it.
Out.
Yeah, it's really good.
Which is interesting because IMDb scores it a 6.6. I really thought it would have been higher because it's like such almost like a classic Halloween like horror movie. Even though it was made in 97, it's just when you ask people what was one of the scariest movies they've seen, a lot of people will list Event Horizon because it's pretty freaking creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It has Lawrence Fishburne, Sam Neill.
I've read the book.
Oh, how's the book?
That's amazing.
Better than the movie?
Yes.
All right, I'll have to check it out.
Oh, gosh. It's so creepy.
Yeah. It's about a rescue crew investigates a spaceship that disappeared into a black hole that has now returned with someone or something now on board. Yeah. I loved it. It was a great movie. I've seen it before. It's actually been a long time since I watched it, so it was kind of fun because it was like, oh, I remember this, but I don't remember this. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Do you know the other one, which the book is way more amazing than the movie, but the movie was really scary, Sphere.
Yeah, agreed. Oh. The book was creepy. The movie was not so good.
Yeah.
All right, so the next movie is Black Death. This is a 2010 movie, 6.4, again, on IMDb. It's set during the time of the first outbreak of the bubonic plague. In England, a young monk is given the task of learning the truth about reports of people being brought back to life in a small village. This has Sean Bean in it, who you may know from Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. as well as Lord of the Rings and stuff. And I don't know if I'm going to say her name right, Carice Van Houten?
Sounds good to me.
She is also in Game of Thrones as the Red Priestess, and in this one she plays a witch. So getting typecasted. This one, not it's listed as an action drama horror. One, not very actiony, not very scary. It was a thriller, and it was just okay. I would say almost all of these, if you don't mind, you know, you should scary movies. You should probably check them out. Except for there's a couple that I'll say don't see.
Yeah, but. I'm not a huge horror guy. I do enjoy it.
Like, Black Death is not very scary. You might enjoy it. It's all right. It's kind of slow, but it's not bad. Okay. The Awakening as well. The Awakening is kind of a thriller, not very scary at all. But yeah, the next one is called The Bleeding House. This is a 2011 movie. It only has a 5 on IMDb.
You have really watched some obscure stuff.
I did. I wanted to watch stuff that I hadn't seen in a long time or had never seen. It was just like that was on Netflix. Just stuff that I could watch. You know, again, stuff that I may not have heard of. So on like Netflix, I would go through and just stuff that had normally about over three stars was normally like, okay, this must be in a decent movie. Because there's a lot of movies on there that only have like one. Yeah. When it comes to like horror films, they're like very, very, very picky about those. So The Bleeding House, a stranger with mysterious intentions comes to stay at the night at a secluded country home. But what he finds inside is a family torn apart by a violent past and a secret more deadly than he expected. So this is a kind of a slow pace, kind of an indie like horror film, kind of reminiscent of some of the older movies. And it was okay. It's a little slow. So if you don't mind slow movies, it's a good watch. Otherwise, I mean, I could see people getting easily bored by it because it's, you know, not very violent, not like gruesome or anything like that, but just kind of like, okay, what's going to happen? Okay. Let's get this moving. The next one I watched was called The Bay. This is a 2012, another independent film. This one is chaos breaks out in a small Maryland town after an ecological disaster occurs. This one is all found footage. It's a found footage movie.
And
it's like this girl is, she's like doing like a Skype interview with somebody and she's like telling the story of like this crazy stuff that went down. And it's like an interview. And so she's like, she has like all this footage and stuff that like the CDC had like, and the FBI and all this, like the government had like taken this outbreak that happened in this town. And like, she was there as a newscaster or whatever, filming for the July 4th weekend. And like, there's like a bacteria infection that just spreads through the entire town. And like anybody that's been in the water or has drinking the, like consumed the water from the town, like dies. And so it's really crazy. Cause it's like security cameras. It's like people's like cell phone videos. It's her like news station video. It's people Skyping. It's like all this like various forms of found footage for this movie. So it was really cool in the way that they presented it. Again, not very scary because it's not like they're turning these people into zombies and they're killing each other. It's just like, oh, like just there's something eating you from the inside out.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, and it wasn't, again, not very gory, just kind of like, you know, the makeup with like, there's like blotches and grossness, but it was okay. Again, it wasn't very scary. But the format that they did it with all this various found footage formats was pretty cool. The next one I watched, that one had a 5.5 on IMDb. So you can see it was okay, but could have been better. Mm-hmm. The next one I watched was called Mum and Dad. And this is a BBC movie.
I'm guessing terrible.
It has a 5.8 and on Netflix, it had like, you know, out of 5, it had like 4 stars. So I was like, oh man, this is going to be good. If it has 4 stars, then it must be. No, it was terrible.
Really?
This one I don't recommend. Especially, I'm not a huge fan of like the torture horror films.
Hate torture.
I don't like it. This one is not like very gory. It doesn't show a lot. It's all implied. But it's Mum and Dad and their adopted, like quote unquote, adopted children, Birdie and Elbie, work at the airport. The family live off whatever they can scavenge from cargo holds, offices and hotels. And has to do with them bringing in a new family member. So it follows this girl as they pull her from, like, they kidnap her and try to make her part of the family, and like it, you know, they're torturing her and trying to like brainwash her and stuff, and it's kind of gross, and like, again, it's not like overly gory. It's just some of the stuff, like the first time you meet the dad, he's like, oh, daddy wants to see you now. So they take her in this room and he's obviously jerking off. Like, you can just tell, you know, it's like the, you know, you just can tell what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And then you see him set down and it looks like a heart. Like, he was jacking off into like a heart. And it's just like, why?
What?
Yeah. So it was just, I finished it because I wanted to see how it ended, but like, well, you know, cause I don't want to just like start the movie and then like not finish it. Cause it wasn't like overly gory. It wasn't like, especially with it being like a torture film, like, you know, like one of those type of scary movies.
Listen,
I wanted this girl to have her like revenge, you know? So I was like, I've got to see how this pans out.
There's this porn and I needed to see how it was going to finish.
Exactly. they all weird. End the same.
Tears.
But yeah, lots of tears and regret.
Don't we know?
But I don't recommend it. Again, it's on Netflix, but it was not very good.
Don't we know?
Yeah. So then, okay. So the movie after this one was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Called Night Watch. It's a 1997 movie starring Ewan McGregor, Nick Nolte, Patricia Arquette.
The Night Watch or just Night Watch?
Just Night Watch. Mm-hmm. Josh Brolin, John C. Reilly, Brad Dourif, Lauren Graham, like huge cast. So, Ewan McGregor plays a law student who takes a job as a night watchman at a morgue. He begins to discover clues that implicate him as a suspect of a serial killer or a serial of murders. Yeah. So pretty much he's there. There's a serial killer on the loose and clues start pointing to him as being the killer. It was awesome. This movie was really good, and it was really cool because this is, you know, 97, so this is before Ewan McGregor was in Star Wars, this is before mm-hmm. Josh Brolin was like Josh Brolin.
He's always been Josh Brolin. Come on, bro.
Come
on, bro.
Okay, you watch Suits.
Yeah.
You know Trevor?
Yes.
Looks like young Josh Brolin?
Yeah.
That's what he looks like in this movie.
Oh, wow.
Like, I was like, oh, man, you look like Trevor from Suits.
That's crazy.
And Nick Nolte has a normal voice. It hasn't completely gone to that whatever it is now. But it was a lot of fun. It was a thriller. It wasn't really, you know, scary, but it was a good movie. Again, also on Netflix. As a 6.1 IMDb, it was pretty good. I enjoy it. I would give this one like probably about a 7.5.
Very cool.
I would watch it again for sure. We've got a couple more left. Told you I watched so many.
I'm here for you, buddy. Yeah. I'm just providing backup.
And you know, if you've ever seen these, you know, feel free to jump in.
I've never seen any of them.
I know these are all like just obscure. After this one, you'll probably have seen some of the next ones, mm-hmm. maybe. So the next one is a 1991 movie called People Under the Stairs. This is by Wes Craven. Two adults and a juvenile. A burglar break into a house occupied by a brother and sister and their stolen children and can't escape.
Really?
Yep. It's got a couple of people in it. Hold on. The one kid, one of the kids that's in the movie, because it's like these two kids, his name is Brandon Quinton Adams, and he was in The Sandlot and The Mighty Ducks. And then it also has, oh, where did you go? Oh, man. Ving Rhames. That's it. Yeah. Ving Rhames is in it.
I think isn't it Ving Rhames?
Whatever.
Ving Rhames?
Ving Rhames? I don't know.
Is it Ving? I think
I've always heard of Ving. I don't know.
No, I could be wrong. I'm always wrong on that stuff.
I have no idea. I could be wrong. This was another one. It's 90s. Kind of cheesy horror films that kind of go along with like some of the Wes Craven, so all of his movies, just that kind of just silly. I don't know. It was good. It was fun. Again, also on Netflix, 6.1. That's probably what I'd give it.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't terrible, and it wasn't great, but it was fun. It's one that again, like next Halloween, I would probably watch again for sure. Don't know if I'd own it, but as long as it's on Netflix.
I can't get Ashley to watch horror films.
Yeah, this one's not very scary. It's, you know, again, it's that kind of goofy, kind of along the lines of like Chucky and stuff, where it's like, it's scary, but it's
she
not
won't
scary.
Even watch that.
Oh, man, I love Chucky. All right, so then on Saturday, I hung out with some friends, and we did our zombie fest, which has really just turned into horror fest, because we don't really watch zombie movies. Although we did watch Shaun of the Dead. It was the first movie we watched was Shaun of the Dead.
That's good.
I think everyone knows what Shaun of the Dead's about. It's about Shaun and some zombies.
And they're dead.
And they're dead. Obviously, IMDb gives it an 8. I would probably match that, or maybe at least a 9. It's one of my favorite zombie movies of all time. It's hilarious. What I love about this movie, and we've noticed it a lot in this one, is just how, like, everything they say foreshadows something that's going to happen. Like, literally every word they say happens. Like, at the very beginning, their roommate Pete is, like, all pissed off at them, and Edgar Wright's character, Ed, goes, or not Edgar Wright, that's the director, Nick Frost's character, Ed, goes, "Next time I see you, dead." And, like, literally the next morning, he's dead. Like, the next time he sees him, he's actually dead. When they're at the pub, and they're like, "Hey, you know what we should do tomorrow? Like, tomorrow we should have a Bloody Mary. We should have a go at the King's Head, or a bash at the King's Head. We should, oh, man, something about the princess, and then come back here for drinks, and or have shots." The zombie at the beginning of the movie, or, like, the first zombie they see, her name is Mary. Then they have to go take care of his stepdad, Philip. They have to bash him over the head, or that's what their plan is.
Oh,
yeah. And then they go save his girlfriend, the princess. And then they go back to the bar where they shoot zombies. Like, it's literally exactly what they do. So
that's awesome.
And again, just the entire movie is like that, where they just, like, tell you exactly what's going to happen to people. And, oh, it's so funny. Again, one of my favorite movies. Definitely check it out if you haven't seen it. It's awesome.
That's a favorite of mine, too.
Yeah. The next movie that we watched was the new Silent Hill, Silent Hill Revelation. I loved the first Silent Hill movie. I thought it was a lot of fun. Very reminiscent of the video game. This one sucked. This one was terrible. It was so bad. It was so bad.
I didn't even watch it.
This one is based on Silent Hill 3, the game. And the problem with it is that the first one, Silent Hill 1, kind of followed Silent Hill, the first Silent Hill game, kind of, but they changed it. This one tried to connect the two, and it did a terrible job at it. So it was like trying to make things in the first movie make sense with stuff that was in the game. And it was like very forced and didn't, I don't know. It's when her father disappears, Heather Mason is drawn into a strange and terrifying alternate reality that holds answers to the horrific nightmares that have plagued her since childhood. This stars Sean Bean, once again, and Kit Harington, also known as Jon Snow from Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones everywhere, man.
I'm telling you, man.
Listen, if we want to get into Game of Thrones, we need to do horror movies.
Yeah, exactly. And then Adelaide Clemens played Heather, and she was not very good. It was not a very good movie. Hmm. Which is such a bummer, because the first one was so... It was creepy. It was like a good creepy.
Yeah, I remember the first one.
This movie was one of those 3D... I don't know, where they made... it was obviously made... not made for 3D, like how Gravity was made for 3D. This was like, oh, look... Pyramid Head is gonna stab you with his sword. Watch as this sword comes at your face. Like, you know, but we're not watching it in 3D, so it just is like...
Oh, yeah. I just did that recently with Harold and Kumar's 3D Christmas.
Yeah.
Same thing. It was it's so stupid.
You're like, why is this happening? This is really dumb.
Yeah.
Which I will say, Gravity, I think, was one of the first 3D movies that had me flinch at a part, because there's, like, shrapnel flying by, and I literally, like, jumped, because I mean... It looks so, it's so good that you're just like, oh my God. And I felt so dumb afterwards, but then I was talking to my friends, and like, apparently there was times when they did it too.
That's awesome.
Just like, oh. But you know, cool. Like in the Silent Hill 3D, like I'm sure if I was watching the theater, I would just be like, get that sword out of my face. All right, two more left.
You said that 3 ago.
No, I said there was a couple more. So we're almost to the end. Now I'm saying
a couple
I have 2 more.
Is 2.
All right. Next one. Paranormal Activity 4.
I've never even seen the first 3.
Some people don't like it. It's the found footage style. I like them. I think that they're, again, I think scary movies are fun. So I think these are fun. Like, they're just the right amount of, like, creepy, because of how well the effects are done for, like, such a low budget. That, you know, they do stuff where you're just kind of like, man, I really want to know how you just did that shot. Like, how did you get that girl, like, to get pulled out of the room like that? Like, I'm sure there's wires and whatnot, but it's cool. So this is the fourth one. It's been 5 years since the disappearance of Katie and Hunter, and a suburban family witnesses strange events in their neighborhood when a woman and a mysterious child move in. So it was really cool. I've enjoyed all of them. They're a good amount of creepy while still being like, I don't know. Again, fun. Like, I don't know. They're just fun to watch because you're just kind of like on the, you know, oh my God, what's going to happen next? Like, okay, there's a child's shadow just ran across the wall or across the room with no kid in front of it. But it's one of those that, like, if you don't see it, you don't see it. But if you see it, you're like, what? No.
Yeah.
No. So I enjoy it. I'm excited about the next ones that are coming out. This one has a 4.4 on IMDb. I think it deserves more than that. Speaking of Silent Hill, has a 5, which I don't understand because that movie was so terrible. It has a 2% Rotten Tomatoes rating, though. 2%. At least Paranormal Activity had a 25%.
Wow. So,
and then the last movie that we watched was the best movie that I've watched so far. This would be The Conjuring, one that came out this summer. Paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren work to help a family terrorized by a dark presence in their farmhouse. Dude, best movie I've watched so far. It, when I leave my office to go to bed here, whenever we're done.
You scared?
I'm going to leave some lights on.
See, that's why I don't like doing it.
Man, I love it. And these, man, this one was so good. It was, you know, a $20 million budget. They did great on the effects. Oh, man. It was creepy. It was just downright creepy. And what makes it even creepier is, you know, at the beginning it says, like, you know, based on a true story. And, you know, you see that in movies, you're like, okay, sure. Like, at some point in time, someone was haunted by something, you know, and it's like, oh, now it's based on a true story.
Yeah.
No, I went and looked it up because I was curious, you know, I was like, okay, let's see what the real story is. Dude, this movie, like, actually happened.
Are you serious?
Yes. Like, the people that this happened to are producers on the film. Like, the two investigators that the movie follows.
Nope.
Pitched this idea to producers. They played the tapes for them. They showed them their evidence. And the producer went, oh, we're making this. Like, oh, we're doing it. Mm-mm. So they were involved. Apparently, like, the family that is terrorized, one of their daughters wrote a book about their experience in the house as well as with the Warrens or whatever. I don't remember what the real names are. I think it's Warren. Anyways, so they used bits from her book and bits from their book and then the actual evidence. Like, they used stuff like that and then their accounts of what happened and they made this movie. And it is creepy. Creepy.
Mm-mm.
I think my neighbor just got home because I just heard something outside my window.
Now you're really scared.
Oh man. Okay, you know what makes it the creepiest is that, like, it's a little, like, side story. It's kind of like when you first are introduced to the couple, it shows them dealing with these, like, girls that are roommates and they have a doll. And it's like this porcelain doll and it is creepy as crap. It just looks creepy. It's like one of those, like, why would you own this in the first place? Like, that thing just needs to be burned and sent back to hell. Like, and in the story, the girls are like, they're like, their apartment's haunted and they just think it's a little spirit of a little girl. So, like, oh yeah, you can play with the doll. Like, feel free to, like, inhabit the doll or whatever. And they're like, one, if anything wants to inhabit anything, it's not a ghost. Ghosts do not interact. It is a demon. Like, you are dealing with some dark stuff here. Mm-hmm. And now that you've invited it into the doll, you've invited it into your life. Because they're telling the story, and, like, the girls, like, got home one day, and there was a note at the door, like, written in crayon. It says, miss me. So they open the door up, and the doll is sitting in the hallway with crowns in her hand. And it's just like,
at that point, I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't even want to hear about it anymore.
No.
I'm blocking you out. Nope.
No, listen. Nope. And then they go into the guest bedroom. I'm still telling whether or not you're listening.
My headphones are off right now because I know you don't want to be the only one who's really freaked out about this.
Yeah. And so they go into the bedroom.
No. Nope.
And there's writing all over the walls. And on the ceiling is written, miss me. And it is creepy. I love it. But that's why when I leave my room, I'm going to have a lot of difficulty in the dark.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are all the movies that I watched. I promise next week it won't be as long. I have like, 2 weeks worth of movies to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's
I have also been watching American Horror Story, which I don't know if you watch, but that show was amazing.
No, I do not. But it's on my Plex.
Dude.
Box.
Your face. You're so angry.
You play a drop while I'm talking still.
I try to end it. No, I don't watch that. I don't watch that show. It's on the Plex, though.
Well, I was saying the first season is okay. The second season, the one I'm watching right now, is awesome. It's a great story, and I like creepy stuff, and it's creepy. It's good.
I don't like to fill my life with that because then I do things like check underneath the couch every time I sit on it.
Well, this one all takes place in an asylum with crazy people, so it's like this is not something that would happen in your life. But the doll thing that could be
anywho,
real.
Pacific Rim,
buying it,
The Heat,
boxing it,
Kevin Hart, Let Me Explain.
Ooh, I kind of want to see this because it's Kevin Hart, and I heard it was pretty funny. I probably will box it though.
Untold History of the United States.
I've not even heard of this. I don't even know what it is.
Season. It's a whole season.
It's a season?
Yeah.
What is it? It's Oliver Stone, so this is going to be a...
12 chapters on 4 discs.
Ugh.
Oh, that's going to be a beating.
It is. It's got a 7.8 out of 10, though, on its ratings. It's probably pretty good, but I don't know. Oliver Stone is a little long-winded for me.
Yeah.
I'll probably pass on it. I won't say I'll burn it, though. That seems too mean for it.
The Clone Wars, Star Wars Clone Wars, seasons 1 through 5.
Oh, my God. I'm buying that.
That's the whole kit and caboodle right there.
Now, when they got bought out, they closed, or they finished the show off. They said they still had stuff in production that they were supposed to add.
They just announced a new show coming to Disney XD, and it's following... the Rebel Alliance,
right? Called Rebels. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering because they had like episodes and stuff done for like their final season. They were supposed to add them to
the disc.
Yeah, I wonder if they did, or I don't know if they were talking about making them into a movie and just finishing out because they had already done so much work on it that they wanted to finish that season out. I wonder if what they're going to do with it.
Jumper 3D.
What?
Jumper 3D.
I don't even see that on my list. Where is it at?
It's third one down in the middle. I mean, sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Fifth down in the middle.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the middle. I still don't see it.
Right next to Backdraft. To the right of it.
Backdraft. There it is. Hold on, let me open it up. This is the original. It is the one with Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
Burn it. Burn it to death. Burn it to death. Burn it. Burn it. Burn it forever and ever.
Yeah. And then we have Backdraft.
Backdraft is a good one. Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a tough one for you.
It's a tough one. This is not one that I would buy. It's definitely one that you need to. It's a Ron Howard film. It's a good watch. It's just I don't know if I want to. It's kind of depressing.
Mm-hmm.
So box it for sure. Box it. Let's just go with that.
The Colony.
Is this the TV show?
No, with Bill Paxton, Lawrence Fishburne, and Kevin Zegers.
I have never seen it.
Forced underground by the next Ice Age, a struggling outpost of survivors must fight to preserve humanity against a threat even more savage than nature.
What rating did it get?
7.4.
Yeah. I would probably box it. I'd check it out if it was on Netflix.
Anything else? I think that's about it.
Yeah, there's like The Haunting. That's a 1963 movie.
Get off your section's already done.
Well, that's why all these movies are coming out, man. They're re-releasing all these horror films.
I know. Embrace.
I got an 8.4, so I would definitely check it out.
Embrace right Vampire.
Up. Right. What?
Embrace of the Vampire. Unrated.
Ooh.
Got a 0 out of 10.
Oh, man, The Colony? This looks bad.
It looks good or bad?
Oh, it looks pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it has a 7.4, so I can't, but out of 4 ratings. I don't know, maybe.
Well, that is it for our show this week. We hope you enjoyed Doug's new segment. We hope that it goes even longer next week.
No. Dude, that doll is going to haunt your dreams.
Okay, I got to get going. So that's our show for this week. I hope that you enjoyed it. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
And this has been Real Talk.